You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up later, Governor Walker wrapped up his campaign kickoff tour this weekend in Iowa. WPR reporter Sean Johnson was there. He'll join us with the details.
First, new data out from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirms something that our parents suspected all along. We're just not eating enough of our fruits and vegetables.
According to the new report, fewer than 15% of adults in America eat enough fruits daily to meet federal recommendations, even fewer when it comes to vegetable consumption. Here in Wisconsin, we follow that national trend. Based on the CDC survey, only 12.5% of Wisconsinites are eating enough fruit. Only 7.5% of us are getting enough veggies. So what are the implications here for public health, and why, despite the health benefits of eating the fresh fruits and vegetables, are we falling down on the job?
Joining us now is Beth Olson. She's an associate professor in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison and a UW Extension Nutrition Specialist. Beth, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So by and large, this report finds Americans are not eating enough fruits and vegetables. As a nutritionist, what's your take on that?
Well, we've seen this before, and unfortunately, although we've been discussing for years the need for people to eat more fruits and vegetables, we're not having a lot of progress.
And so based on that survey, just to zero in on these results, the CDC found that 12.7% of Wisconsin respondents are eating enough fruit, only 12.7%, and only 7.5% getting enough veggies. And in both cases, Wisconsin is below the national average. Is that surprising to you at all?
Unfortunately, it's not surprising to me. However, I'm a little discouraged that for all the information we've put out, we haven't managed to increase the amount of fruits and vegetables people are eating. And I think one of the things we're realizing is there are many things that are hampering people's ability to do that. And we need to be addressing those other things as well as providing education. So, for instance, we find that there are some people who simply don't have the access to fruits and vegetables that we would like them to have. People living in areas where they're not close to a large supermarket or grocery store that would have the largest amount of fruits and vegetables at the lowest prices, people that don't have good transportation and so can't shop very often. These are groups that we need to work to reach to get them more access, as well as tell them about how important the fruits and vegetables are for their health.
And do you think there's any sort of confusion about what a portion size actually is, how much it is we're supposed to be eating?
There certainly could be. A lot of times people don't realize that if they have a large salad, for instance, that might be two portions, or if they have a large apple, that might be two portions. So it's possible in some cases people are saying that they're only eating one serving when they're really eating two. But given how low the numbers are, I don't think that we have much of the population eating enough.
Well, let's talk about what those recommendations are. What are the federal recommendations for fruit and veggie consumption?
Well, what they tend to do it in is cups. So they move towards saying, and that's because, indeed, people don't know, you know, in an apple versus a banana, how many servings that is. And so for most people, they say about 1.5 to 2 cups of fruit and then 2 to 3 cups of vegetables a day. If you were someone that was a lot more active or a larger person, you would want to, and have more calories in your day, you would want to eat more.
So when you talk about a banana, so let's look at a serving. Is that one serving of fruit or two?
A banana is probably one serving.
Is there a general rule of thumb that we can think about these things, tips that might make it easier for us to recognize how much it is we're getting or not getting?
Well, I think rather than worrying about the serving size, one of the things we want to do is look at how many occasions could we add in fruits and vegetables that we're not currently doing it. So a typical example might be if you have cereal for breakfast, can you put a portion of fruit on top, sliced bananas or some berries? If you're having lunch, can you add, instead of chips to your sandwich, could you add baby carrots? Things like having 2 vegetables at dinner with 2 different colors, which would represent more nutrient groups than just one serving. Or when we're reaching for a snack, could we reach for fruit or vegetables? Since especially vegetables is where we're falling even more short of the recommendations, perhaps cutting up fresh vegetables and having those for a snack as well. And then there might be some other relatively small but important things we could do, like every sandwich you make, can you add on some different kind of lettuce and a slice of tomato or something like that.
And I've read that we're also supposed to be focusing on getting more dark green and more orange, to put it in terms of colors, vegetables and fruits into our diet. How come?
Well, that's because different nutrients actually add different colors to fruits and vegetables. So rather than try to tell people, well, if you want to get this vitamin, here's all the vegetables it has in, or if you want to get this mineral, here's all the fruits it's in. If we tell people eat a wide variety of colors, that will help people increase their different kinds of nutrients. But why we're emphasizing the orange and the green is those are the groups where we're falling rather low. So people are eating more potatoes, for instance, but they aren't eating as many dark green or deep red fruits and vegetables. And those are the ones that are going to have not only the vitamins and minerals that we're kind of more familiar with, like vitamin C or vitamin A, but they have a lot of other things like antioxidants, which also give off color, and a wide variety of antioxidants. So by adding more color to your plate, you can add nutrients without even really thinking about what exactly those nutrients are.
Well, we're talking right now with nutritionist Beth Olson. She's joining us to talk about new CDC numbers showing that Americans, by and large, are not eating enough fruits and vegetables. And, you know, we know that this is something we should be doing. As you said, a lot of educational outreach has been done. But in terms of the consequences, what happens when we don't eat enough fruits and vegetables? What happens to our bodies, or can happen?
Well, we're just generally not as healthy. We're not able to fight off diseases as well. We probably don't have as much energy. We aren't able to perform our tasks as well. Those are kind of the more short-term things. But one important thing fruits and vegetables do is, since they have dietary fiber, and in general they have a high water composition, they aren't very high in calories for the amount of bulk that they are. So if we add as many fruits and vegetables as we can to our meals, we may push out some other calories and have a better chance at helping to maintain a healthy body weight. So all those things, both the nutrients and maintaining the good body weight, are really important, not just for how we function and feel right now, but how we, as we age, how our health is. So for kids, that they grow well, but for adults, that we reduce our risk of some types of chronic diseases. And there is pretty good evidence that eating whole food diets, foods that have a lot of whole grains and fruits and vegetables, help reduce our risk of things like certain cancers and heart disease and diabetes, type 2 diabetes.
Now, you mentioned kids, and there was a movement a couple years back, the sort of the sneaky chef thing, maybe it was even further back, about making brownies for the kids, but putting in, you know, a couple cups of pureed spinach that you would never know is there, or black beans in the brownies. What do you think about techniques like that?
I think that's one helpful strategy. I don't think it's the only answer. I don't think, for one thing, we maybe can get as many fruits and vegetables in that way as we would need. And if we don't start exposing our children to actual fruits and vegetables from a young age on, they won't grow up enjoying them and appreciating them and wanting them, and so they won't then add them on their own. So I think that's a great strategy, but I think we also just have to look at how can we introduce them to a really wide variety of fruits and vegetables from very early on. And if they don't like it, that's okay. The next time you try a different one, or perhaps you give them a fruit or a vegetable you know they really like, and then you add another one on the table that they're not so sure about, so that they begin to see it and maybe taste it and be exposed to it. And over time, that seems to help children accept more varieties of fruits and vegetables. They don't have to like everything, but allowing them to try and learn to enjoy a bigger variety, we have a better chance that they'll eat enough as they get older.
Well, I think sometimes, you know, when people are younger and they're healthy, they think, oh, maybe I don't have to eat like that. I can get a lot of exercise. I can ride my bike. I can run and still eat, you know, junk food when I want to, maybe, you know, Oreos, that kind of thing. So is that true? Can you offset it, the Oreos, with the exercise, or does it not work that way?
You can offset a little bit. So maybe you can offset some of the calories. So maybe you're not gaining weight, but you can't offset the nutrients. And so probably if you're an active person, you're not going to perform as well as you could have if you had a healthy diet. And then there is some evidence that some of the damage that happens to our body that results in a chronic disease like heart disease can be happening when we're younger and we're not feeling it. So maybe we're at a healthy body weight, we're not eating that well, but we're beginning to accumulate some plaque in our arteries, which would lead towards heart disease, or beginning to gain a little bit of weight and lose a bit of our blood glucose control, and that can contribute to type 2 diabetes. So there's also things that may be happening you're not even seeing. And rather than accumulate that damage as you get older, it would be nicer if we could start out with a better body to begin and not allow that to happen. So then as we got older, we're in a better spot to reduce our risk for those kind of diseases.
Now, you were mentioning barriers to getting fruits and vegetables, things like food deserts or not having reliable transportation to get you to the place where you can get the fruits and vegetables. What needs to change there, do you think, especially here in Wisconsin?
Well, I think there are some things available now that people aren't aware of, and so I'd encourage anybody who's concerned to call their county extension office, and they will know where some of the access points are that people may not be aware of. For instance, some local or perhaps a bit small, so they're not as well-known farmer markets. There's also, through extension, they can get hooked up to services through the state that would provide them, if they're low income, with vouchers that let them get fruits and vegetables at their local stores. But I also think we need to work with vendors to increase fruit and vegetable availability in all the places where people show up. So that's where they work, where they play, their corner stores and convenience stores, if those are closer. That needs to go hand in hand in our education. Because if we simply put the fruits and vegetables into the stores, but people don't purchase them, the grocers or other vendors will take them back out again because they don't want to have them rotting on their shelves with no one purchasing them. So we have to really go at it from both ends.
We're talking to nutritionist Beth Olson right now. She's with us to talk about new CDC numbers showing Americans aren't getting enough fruits and vegetables in their diets. And we'd like to hear from you at 800-642-1234.
How are you doing when it comes to eating fruits and veggies? If you're getting your recommended amount, how do you do it? If you're not eating enough, why not? Does it boil down to access, cost, taste? Give us a call, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Fruit and vegetable consumption is on our minds this afternoon. A new survey out from the CDC finds that across the board, we as Americans aren't getting the recommended amounts of fruits and vegetables that we need. Nutritionist Beth Olson stays with us to talk about the implications of that and why that is. We also want to hear from you now at 800-642-1234.
Do you make it a point to eat the recommended amount of fruits and vegetables each day, and how do you work them into your diet? If you're not eating that good stuff, why not? What could change your behavior? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. We go first to Paul. Paul joins us in Wausau. Hi, Paul.
Yeah, hi. I have just a couple comments, one on society-wide, and another one would be more of a personal comment and how we've dealt with this. So I've been a participant, vendor, farm producer at a number of farm markets around, and I'd say even at the farm markets, the biggest sellers are people selling baked goods and the sweet baked goods, and those people sell an incredible amount, and that's kind of disturbing. And we started another farm market last year, and one of the things I think we're looking at doing is just removing all the baked goods next year. Just out of concern for that, because I think when people are surrounded with, we are as a society, all these, so much junk food is just ubiquitous everywhere you go. I mean, you go to Best Buy, you go to get gas, you go to the grocery store, and the first things you see are just easily consumable, starchy, fatty, sugary foods. And our tastes change when we start to eat those. And I think we start to eat less and less vegetables because we get used to eating just sweet food, and then just thought of blood chemistry changes and whatnot. But anyhow, that's one observation I have, that we need to just start removing that stuff from our diet or maybe taxing that stuff. I know that's unpopular, but maybe taxing it in order to encourage people to eat something else. And the second one, on a more personal level, we as a family with our kids, they have to eat their vegetables, including a salad every night, and also some kind of cooked vegetable before they get seconds on the main menu, which may be a favorite food like lasagna or something like that. They have to eat the vegetables first, and then if they want any kind of dessert, which is usually small, vegetables have to be eaten as well, and regardless whether they like them or not.
All right, Paul, some great talking points there to think about. Really interesting that your little farmer's market thinking of getting rid of the baked goods because they drown out all the veggies. And that has been something we've been hearing a lot of, Beth, of people sounding the battle cry against sugar, saying, you know, sugar is a major culprit in disease and the choices that we make. Do you think that sugar is to blame partly for people not eating enough of the fruits and vegetables?
I think the sugar topic is a tricky one. The science is a bit mixed. I think what we're finding is people consume too many calories, and the extra calories that is contributing to weight is likely coming from sugar. That is, they don't need that extra sugar, for instance, in sugar-sweetened beverages or extra baked goods or extra desserts. And if they remove those, they aren't removing the calories that we would like them to consume of the whole grains and the fruits and vegetables. So I think that's also compounded because we aren't, as a society, quite as active as we used to be, and so we don't have room for a lot of extra treats. On the other hand, we don't want to tell people that, you know, if you have a little bit of sugar, that's going to be awful for you. Many people have, you know, a birthday cake at a celebration, or they do go to the farmer's market and get a sweet roll that they don't normally have, and that's perfectly fine. We just have to learn to balance that with an overall healthy diet so that things that are higher in sugar, higher in some types of fat, are a treat instead of the way that we eat.
And what about parenting techniques? What do you think about how Paul had his kids eat the salad and the cooked vegetable before they could have seconds on anything else?
Well, I think parenting is extremely important, and one of the first things we tell parents in our education is you're a role model. You can't sit and eat, you know, a burger and fries and then tell your child to eat vegetables, you know, their carrots. You need to be the role model for the child and eat the way that you want the child to eat, and you also have to make it available. So if there's lots of fruits and vegetables with the meal and there isn't a meal centered around a very high-calorie other option, then they just won't have it available and it won't be a choice. So the more that you can make things available, be a role model, and also a strategy we often talk to parents about is involving their children. So take your child to the farmer's market and let them pick out one new vegetable each week, or take them to the grocery store. And then when you come home, as their age is appropriate, have them help you wash it or prepare it. And work has shown that our children who are involved in choosing preparing their foods are much more likely to eat them than if they just show up at the dinner table and it's put in front of them and they've never seen it before.
Okay, some great advice there, and thank you for your thoughts, Paul. And we're going to go next to John joining us from Oshkosh. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment briefly touched on by the previous caller and by your guest. Availability. With a couple of kids, it's obvious most parents have a hard time getting their kids to eat fruits and vegetables, but a real easy trick, take a cue from grocery stores, the spot in the aisle where manufacturers put the product at eye level in your fridge at home, instead of just putting bag of carrots or a bunch of grapes, take the time to clean them and peel it and cut it and just make it easily accessible for your children, so that in addition to making them eat their fruits or vegetables at mealtimes, the snack times, it's super easy, accessible for them to just grab it from the fridge and eat it. And you'd be surprised how fast you have to continue buying fruits and vegetables.
That's another great one. Thank you so much for that, John. Appreciate these ideas. One thing John did spark in my mind there was there is some prep involved with fruits and vegetables. You do have to wash them. You say you've got a bell pepper, you've got to core it and clean it and slice it up. That takes time, whereas a bag of chips you open and you're eating a second later. And Americans now so pressed for time, many family lives so busy. How do we make that time?
That's an excellent point. And I think actually that is perhaps one reason why fruit intake tends to be a little better than vegetable, because you can just grab an apple, a banana, that kind of thing. But vegetables often take a little more preparation, and so they're not as top of mind for a snack. So one of the things is to invest a bit of time, you know, early in the day, in the morning before you go to work, or on the weekend when you come home for the farmer's market. And you can actually take, say, vegetables and blanch them and then cut them up and put them in bags. And then when you come home for dinner, they can be steamed in the microwave very quickly. And then I wanted to add another strategy that we often encourage people to do is really think about canned and frozen fruits and vegetables. We want you to look for ones that don't have added sodium or added fats or sauces or sugars. But then if you do run out of time one night, you can open up the frozen mixed vegetables, pop them in the microwave, and in a minute or two have vegetables. The frozen and canned, as long as they don't have other things added, are still very nutritious. They're generally frozen or canned right out of the field. They're not shipped across the country, even like fresh produce. So, you know, with the nutrients degrading, they're sealed up, if you will, the nutrients in them right away. And so they're very nutritious. And that's another strategy to save time. If one night you just don't have time or you run out and you don't have any, you can go into the freezer or the pantry and get something that's in a can or frozen in a bag.
And Beth, as we wrap up here, do you think improving cooking literacy would help at all? With some vegetables, you've got the raw option. Otherwise, you might be baffled if you're not used to cooking as much with vegetables, for instance, since that's one of the lowest amounts of consumption here that we're looking at. Do we need to refresh ourselves on how to cook vegetables?
I think we need to refresh ourselves on how to cook vegetables and actually cooking in general. And I encourage people who do have internet access to go to the web and take a look for recipes. And I also think we might think, is there just a little bit different twist on this than I could do? For instance, instead of, if I do have a little more time this evening, could I roast the cauliflower instead of doing it in the microwave to give it a little different flavor? Or could I put it on the grill? Or can I put it into a mixed vegetable and pasta dish versus having my pasta separate from my vegetables? So I think also just making vegetables not the same routine every evening, but mixing it up a little bit might also spark interest in our family and in our kids and consuming more of them.
Well, Beth, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed myself.
That was Beth Olson. She's an associate professor in the Department of Nutritional Sciences at UW-Madison and a UW Extension Nutrition Specialist.
So kale chips have been one of my veggies of choice. Kale is in this couple of years, and it's actually, you know, out there being harvested now. Do you have a go-to veggie, Veronica?
Erica Janik from Wisconsin Life introduced me to this delicious kale salad, as long as you're talking kale, with lemon juice, and it sort of macerates and gets soft and easy to eat. It's
macerates.
Delicious.
Plus, you get to say macerates, which I've learned, a word I learned from Central
it's
Time.
Tasty.